2 Timothy chapter number 1. I want to read this morning, beginning in verse 1. I'm going to read down through verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we can have this in our hands. But, oh God, how we need it in our hearts. Lord, we have found that it must be your Spirit that speaks to our spirit. And so, Holy Spirit of God, we ask you today to move upon us. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us and that you might bring to us that which you have. Lord, there are needs here. We are much needier than we even understand. We are really in dire circumstances without you. Without you, Lord, we are nothing. And we need you to speak to our hearts. Lord, there are some here that their hearts need enlivened. They have a dead spirit. Oh, Spirit of God, today we ask you to do that work. And that they might come to know Christ as their Savior, being truly born again from above. Bless work in our hearts today. We pray this in Jesus' holy, precious name. Amen. Please be seated. On Mother's Day, my text was found in verse number 5. As I consider that text, and as Paul is writing to whom he calls his son Timothy, he is his son in faith, I believe from that he either won him to Christ or he is acting as a father figure in his life spiritually. And we find that this young man whom God has called in the ministry, the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Spirit, is writing to him. And really, as I look at verse 5 especially, I think of the fact that he has had a godly heritage. Listen, if you were in a home that your mom and dad are saved and they've tried to raise you according to the Word of God, you ought to be very thankful for that. I will say this, it is not necessary for the work of God, but it certainly gives you a head start. I remember for a number of years I was very jealous of some young men that I went to school with because their fathers had been pastors and I had not come out of that kind of a home. And it seemed as though they had got placed into positions in the ministry that I was nowhere near. And then it dawned upon me one day, well, duh, God has you where He's supposed to, where He wants you at, and He has them where He wants them at. And God has been working in their life a whole lot longer than yours. And I begin to realize some very important truths. But by the way, be very thankful if you are being raised in that kind of an atmosphere. Be thankful for a parent who wants you to go in the right direction. If you get saved later in life, you also know this, that you have brought a lot of baggage with your salvation. And a lot of that baggage is so firmly attached to us that it takes a long time for God to do a work in our lives. But thank God that is what He is seeking to do. Timothy is being admonished in this in verse number 6 to stir up the gift that God has placed within him. Now God gifts us. God gives us many things. We find that there are spiritual gifts that are mentioned in the Word of God in three places. We find that God gives us many other types of gifts. I would describe this morning the gifts that God gives us as those that are without and those that are within. When I think of the gifts that are without, those things that are bestowed upon us, for instance, our worldly position that we might hold, that place that we hold in the lives of others. Perhaps it's in a workplace. Perhaps it's here, it's there, it's in the neighborhood, whatever it might be. I think of the worldly position that we have, the estate that we have, the substance that is ours, and those kinds of things that God has placed into our hands to use for His glory. By the way, God gives us substance for His glory. One of the things that we don't understand is sometimes we think, well, listen, I understand the Word of God says the tithe is the Lord's, but do you recognize it's all His? And that really it is His that He has given unto you to use in a proper fashion that you might be a blessing to God and to God's people. And so God gifts us with those kinds of things. But there are also those internal natures that God has given to us. God has given to us the ability to speak one with another. We have the privilege and the ability to speak about God to our fellow man. We can say things to our brethren. We can say things to those who are lost. We have that privilege to speak to them. Now, we also have an idea sometimes that that job of speaking of God is just basically given to certain people. May I get you to understand this morning, the Great Commission is not given just to pastors. It's not given just to missionaries. When He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, all of us have a responsibility to speak to other people. Now, I recognize that every person has a different ability to speak. There are those that are very eloquent and can stand in pulpits and deliver messages that are just fantastic. Then there's some like myself that are pretty well, you know what it is. You get what you get, you know. And I just thank God that some of you are still around. But all of us have different abilities. Some have a great difficulty getting the words out. I remember my father-in-law, who, by the way, became a great witness for Christ, and yet he had a problem with his speech and had a problem getting words out and would stutter, and yet was able to bring in many, many kids, especially into Sunday school and the church. Listen, God gives us an ability to speak to others. Some folks, God gives the ability not only to speak it with their lips, but to write it down, to be able to pin some things that it might go to others. I remember a number of months ago, I didn't know how to speak to my brother anymore, so I sat down and wrote him a letter and sent it to him. From my understanding from my niece, it was read several times, and some comments were made to her about it. But we have the privilege to write some things down. God has given to us the ability to influence lives. Now, some of you sat here and said, influence anybody. You have no idea the influence that you are making in lives. You have no idea what might be taking place. And you have that ability to influence lives. Listen, just living for God will influence somebody. Even if your mouth is shut, you ought to open it, but even if it's shut, it's going to influence somebody. Hey, listen, as you grow older, you have other things. It's called experience. You have experience. You have gone through some things. And that is a wonderful gift that God has given to you. You who are older ought to have had the experience of seeing God do wondrous things in your life. You've had the experience seeing God answer prayers that you thought could never be answered. You have seen God do miraculous things that you didn't think could happen. And so now, at this stage in your life, with that experience, you have even greater confidence in the Lord. By the way, that becomes an influence on younger kids. But we have that kind of thing. We have the privilege. There's not a one of us that do not have this privilege, and that is to express to God in prayer the needs and the thoughts that are ours. We can seek Him in this matter of prayer. And so we have these kinds of gifts that God has given to us. And so Paul writes to Timothy, and I believe to you and I, and says, stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of the hands. He said, you have some things. and don't leave it dormant. Make use of them. Find out what they are. Find out what your gifts are. Find out what God has given to you. And then find out how God wants you to use them. God does not want us to be a fool. God has something for us. Understand also that our text today also gives us ample reason of their stirring. And that is, God has not given us the spirit of fear. My text today is verse 7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Can I say, without changing the text, He is saying the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. No matter what enemy we face today, we ought to understand we do not have to be in the spirit of fear. God has not given us that. That is speaking of a fear or a cowardness in the face of the enemy. Do you understand? The enemy wants to destroy you. But you don't have to be scared. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You've heard me say, but a number of years ago, I was going from door to door. I can remember just about where it was. And I can't remember the name of the street, but I was up in the hilly area of our city. And I knock on the door, and a woman comes to the door. I might say she was a very attractive woman, probably in her 30s. And I begin to tell her, I'm Pastor Springer. I'm from the Open Door Baptist Church. And I'd like to invite you to come to our services. And I hand her a tract. And she says, well, I can't come to your church on Sunday mornings. I said, well, why can't you? She says, well, I attend coven meetings on Sunday morning. And I looked at her and she says, I'm a witch. You know, until that time, I thought they had these pointy hats and, you know, all these in the brooms and all that kind of stuff. But I learned that certainly wasn't true that morning. And all of a sudden, I got frightened. I thought, I'm in the presence of a witch and she's got witchcraft. And God said to me, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And I took courage at that moment, because that's what God says. He does not give us the spirit of fear. That which overwhelmed me momentarily was not from God. Okay? That is not a godly thing. Fear is not a quality God wants of men except to Him. And that be a different type of fear. Fear of anything else, I believe, is a direct assault on the fear of God and our complete trust in Him. God has not given us the spirit of fear. But I want us to notice here what He's given us. He says the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's take those three things and investigate them this morning. He has given us the spirit of power. Do you realize that God has already given us all the spiritual resources needed for any trial or any threat that may come our way? God has already prepared us for that. God has already supplied whatever resource that we need. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 10, verse number 19, He says, but when they deliver you up, He's talking about when they are going to deliver you to the magistrates, when they're going to take you and perhaps seek to kill you for your faith. He says, when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. This is interesting. Don't worry about what you're going to speak. Don't worry about how you're going to defend yourself. How are you going to talk about me? He says, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. As my wife this morning sang of the marvelous grace of God, do you understand today that His grace is sufficient? Paul said that the grace of God was sufficient in his life. It is sufficient for him. It is sufficient for you. It is sufficient for me. The grace of God is available to us. And all the resources needed are already at our disposal. Divine power belongs to the believer. It is there. It's for us. Ephesians 1, 18 and 19, 20 says, "The eyes of your understanding, being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him in His own right hand in heavenly places." What's God saying? He's saying the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, placed Him at the right hand of the Father, is available for you and me. Is there a greater power than that? There be not a greater power than that. And God says, that be for you and for me. If you got your Bible, turn to Ephesians with me. If you're in Timothy, 2 Timothy, just back a few pages. Ephesians chapter number 6. Let's notice here, he speaks of the armor. God allows you and I to be able to be strong in the Lord. In chapter 6, verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." We're not talking about strength of ourselves. We're talking about strength from God. To be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Here is what we have the privilege of, and that is all the tricks of Satan. You and I can stand against them and we can win. We have nothing to fear. God does not give us the spirit of fear in what is facing us. God gives us the power to go through. And notice, we talk about the different pieces of armor. We'll look at it briefly. Verse 13, For we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There is our foe. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand or withstand in the evil day, and having done all to what? Does your Bible says to fall? Does it say to lay down? No, brethren, it says to what? Stand. We have the ability to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He is showing a Roman soldier in his full gear, and he's making relationship to it, and saying, this is what you are able to do. You are in the conquering army. Now, I used to stop there, and I didn't go any farther, and I thought, you know, if you become cowardly and run, then your backside is exposed. Go to the next verse. Praying, when? Always. With all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Listen, we have also this wonderful armor of prayer that envelops us. This might seem strange to you. It might not seem protected of you, but I see it like shrink wrap just wrapping me up. But I'm thinking of shrink wrap that's like armor from a tank. And God has me protected. It is His power. We have that available for every situation in life. God has not given us the spirit of fear. We walk around too many times fearing this, fearing that, fearing the other thing. Let's be honest this morning. You this week have had fears in some situation, some category, something, something that's faced you that was not from God. That is a lie of the devil. He places that there and seeks to get us in that spot. God said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me but the Father, the Father." He says, "I'm the truth." What's He say about that truth? If we know the truth, it will what? Set you free. When we know Christ, we know the truth of God, that gives us freedom. Why? Because He is our strength. Not only is there the spirit of power that God gives, but God gives us also the spirit of love. In 1 John chapter number 4, verse 18 says, "There is no fear in love." Do you get that? There is no fear in love. None. No fear there. But perfect love does what? Casteth out fear. That's interesting. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So God is telling us, hey, listen, God does not give us a spirit of fear, but God gives us a spirit of what? Love. Interesting. Love, I remember a song that says, makes the world go round. May I tell you today, it might be an old song, but it's very true from a scriptural standpoint. It is that love that propels. Are you still in Ephesians? Back up a chapter 2, chapter 3, if you would. Chapter 3. And notice what we find written here. In Ephesians 3, verse 14, he says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth all knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, without end. Amen." I look at that and I'm thinking, my God, who fills me, promises me abundantly, says, if I know the love of God which passeth all knowledge, I am filled with the fullness of God. Do you recognize the fullness of God can defeat anything? God, who spoke the worlds into existence in the Holy Spirit of God, dwells within us. When we yield ourselves to Him, we have the ability to defeat Satan and all of those forces that are trying to destroy us. And yet we fear so often. God's not given us that spirit. God's given us a spirit of what? Of power, of love. Love gives strength. Think of the definition that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And one of the things it says, beareth all things. He uses the word charity there. Beareth all things. Another spot says, endureth all things. Charity, he says, never faileth. And so you and I today, we have within our resources from God the Spirit, He tells us, of power, a spirit of love. But I want you to notice the last one. And if I could really emphasize one of these more than the other, I want to right here. Because he says the spirit of a sound mind. Now that term sound mind is referring to its discipline. Disciplining our mind. We should be disciplined in the mind. Now listen to this. And not slaves to our emotions. I'd have given $100 to the person that shouted and got up and ran around the room right there. Glory to God. We are to act according to truth. Not our emotions. Not allowing them to direct us. Let me give you an illustration. There are different kinds of phobias. I have, believe it or not, at 6'6", a phobia of heights. 6'7" scares me. Okay? I am not one who likes heights. They bother me. I have found in recent months, if I go over a high bridge, Patty's going to be so happy to hear this, I don't want to look to the side too well. Because once in a while, how many know what the heebie-jeebies are? I have no idea what they are, but I'm using the word. You folks know. Maybe I'm using the wrong term. I have a fear of heights. But I cannot allow that to keep me from what I should do. I cannot do that. A number of years ago, I took a group of teenagers. I don't remember where we went. But just a little side trip, we decided we'd go to the Sears Tower in Chicago. Have any of you ever been to the Sears Tower in Chicago? Okay. How many were with me? Doc was with me. All right. Troy was with me. All right. And you remember that trip? See? When we were on the 103rd floor of the Sears Tower, which is the observation floor, there are, I think, two more floors, I think, or three. And as we were up there, there's glass all the way around. I remember we had to go to the basement to get on the elevator. When I looked at the needle for the hands, for the, you know, how fast it was going, it was in tens. And I soon realized why. We made time going up that thing. I learned that I was a quarter of a mile in the air. While we were looking out, as we got off the elevator, I saw an airplane coming into O'Hare Field. I was looking down at the plane as well as out away from us. I had teenagers with me. I'm standing here, I don't like this. But the last thing you want to do is teach your kids to be afraid of everything. Amen? My legs were so weak, it was pathetic. But I walked over to the window, and I looked down, and I saw our van sitting down there on the street. I said, look, there's our van. It looked like a little Tonka toy. It's easier to walk up to it than to walk back. Because after I'm there for a little bit, my legs are not only rubber, but they've turned to jelly. But I knew there was only one way out of there without embarrassment, and that was to walk. And so I turned around and walked away. Did I get over my fear of heights because I looked from the 103rd story at our van that was cleared down there a quarter of a mile away? No, I still have fear of heights. But I realize there's a truth. The truth is, there was something under my feet. It was called a floor. Which was probably, this would give you great security, more secure than this one. Though it was a quarter of a mile in the air. So I had to what? Not overcome my fear, but realize there's a truth that's greater than my emotion. And so when we talk about here the spirit of a sound mind, there are many things out there. We have emotions, we have thoughts, we have all these things that come to us. But the discipline of our mind is that we come back to the truth of God's Word. There's soundness of mind. Okay? You see, I believe in the force of gravity. And gravity, if I would have stepped out of the window, would have taken over. But there's also another force that holds me up and keeps me from that and negates the force of gravity. And that is the force of that floor and that structure. You see, we have learned that we're not sucked to the middle of the earth because we stand on soil that keeps us from being sucked to the very core. And so we operate in that truth rather than perhaps the emotion or the thought of being sucked right down to where the gravity starts at. So we operate in the realm of truth. God has given us His truth to operate by, not our emotions. How many know that your emotions go up and they go down, they go out and they go in? How many have hands? Okay. How many have emotions? You know that they will take you up, they take you down, they take you out. I mean, just get excited for a moment. Okay. And listen, they do that. Do we not also know that the devil is the prince of the power of the air? He throws fiery darts, we find from the Word of God. And I believe those fiery darts through the air are thoughts that he seeks to get into our minds that are absolutely false. What God wants to do? Operate in the realm of truth. He has given us the spirit of a sound mind. In other words, discipline ourselves to the truth rather than all that other which seeks to destroy us. God says, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. There is a healthy fear. There's a fear of God and His wrath upon our sin. It is a fear that causes us to turn to Him for His mercy and His grace. That is a healthy fear. But there is also an unhealthy fear. And it is that which causes us, rather than turn to God, to turn to despair and discouragement and defeat. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power. He lives within us. He is all powerful. God has given us the spirit of love. That thing of love, my Bible says, never fails. It beareth all things. God has given us the spirit of a sound mind. Our problem is we want to listen to the other voices. We listen to God. Believe Him in this area. You see, you can be the victor. Amen? You do not have to live in defeat. You do not have to live in despair. If you're not saved today, you're already there. You have not the Spirit of God living in you. You cannot have the power of God. You don't know the love of God. Nor do you have a sound mind. You're operating in the power of the flesh, your emotions, and all of those things. And you need the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the need of our lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer in this moment. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank You today for the Word of God. Thank You we have that which we can trust in, we can depend in, upon. We thank You, O God, today, thus saith the Lord, is truth. And that truth sets us free from all that which seeks to destroy us. Lord, I pray today that You would work in our hearts. I pray, O God, that You would help us to understand that fear is not of You. We ought to fear You. But all so often, all these fears we have, they're not of You. Lord, we fear to talk to people about Christ. That's not of You. We fear what the future might be. That's not of You. We fear what people might say. That's not of You. Oh God, may we, oh Father, just realize that You have given us not that spirit, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Work in our hearts. Lord, I believe there's a need today for Your people to confess the sin of fear. I believe there's a need today for some to come and to get saved. Oh God, work in our hearts in these moments. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Those who are going to be baptized, if you've not gone, I need you to be in your